Good morning, everyone. I'm going to go ahead and call the Senate Committee on Judiciary to order. Thank you very much for being here. The first thing I want to do is kind of go through, give you a play book for today. We have one bill which is going to be, I think it's 1538, dealing with the eliminates probationary driving permits. There's ongoing work. We're waiting for the paperwork to come back on that. We don't expect it to be here this morning, so we're going to need to be coming back. So we'll be recessing, and at this point, we're going to say recess until 4. That may vary because three of us on this committee are on another committee that starts at 3. We're not sure exactly how long that committee is going to go because it does, in fact, have a public hearing scheduled. But as soon as we can break from there, if it's 4 o'clock, we'll do it. If not, we may have to delay our meeting to say 15 or 20 minutes, but we will keep everyone in the loop, and we're going to put on the record 4 o'clock, so we'll have a actual start time, and if we can do it then we will. If not, we'll have to slide it back a little bit. So with that said, I'm going to go ahead and officially carry over Senate Bill 1538 to this afternoon for consideration. That will be at 4 p.m. I assume that will be in this room here, our judiciary room. Unless something changes, we'll let you know. With that said, we're going to go ahead and open up a public hearing, a work session on Senate Bill 1556. And the purpose for opening it up is we're going to be moving 1556 to the Rules Committee. And the reason that we're moving 1556 to the Rules Committee is we still have ongoing discussions and drafting of language, and we were not able to complete the language before yesterday to get it down to LC so they could turn it around and try to get it into LFO for fiscal. So because of that, we will be moving it to Rules. I expect it to be scheduled next week by the Rules Committee at that time. So, Senator Thatcher?
Thank you. A question about the motion. Are we moving it with a due pass even though it's not quite done yet?
And I would say yes, but I'm going to turn to my colleague to my right and ask Senator Bentz, or how would you like for this motion to go forward?
Oh, that's fine with me.
Due pass? Okay. Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 1556 to the floor with due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules.
Senator Thatcher moves Senate Bill 1556 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Rules. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, yes, I'll be voting for this motion because that's what we do, but just want to reserve the right to change my vote on the floor depending on the input from my county clerk.
Fully appreciate that and understand.
I think many of us kind of feel that way.
And Senator Benson, would you like to make any comments as to kind of where we're at? I don't know if you want to give us a small snapshot.
Sure. Well, the discussions have been long and tedious, and extraordinarily difficult. The issues are very, very interesting, and I'll be talking to Legislative Council later today about some of the challenges the bill is currently crafted present. I won't go through the four or five different issues in the bill other than to say that I think there is an opportunity for this bill to address some lack of clarity in our current statutory framework when it comes to the MERS system. The fact that the bill reflects a legislative bar to certain types of actions is of concern, and the fact that the bill would affect ongoing litigation is of concern, and so those are the issues that are on the table. The discussion continues. There may be some significant changes proposed to the bill.
All right. Any other questions or discussion on the motion that's before us? Not seeing any.
Wait, time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
with the universal reservations that we have, do we want to send it to Rules with the due pass recommendation? The other item that Senator Bentz just described is it'll probably have significant changes. Without knowing what those are, shouldn't we send it to Rules with no recommendation?
Well, I mean, that's something to be considered. We have a motion before us, and that was based on Senator Vince's position since he's been the lead negotiator for the committee. I'm at this point going to honor his his position unless you want to change.
No, I'll change it because I think his point's a good one.
All right. So at this point, I'm going to ask you to rescind.
Yeah. Okay, I will withdraw my previous motion to move to the rules with a due pass.
And do you have a second motion to give to us?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move Senate Bill 1556 to the Rules Committee with no recommendation. Is that right? Okay.
That will work. Okay. I was going to say, could, yeah. So up, the motion that we have before us now is Senator Thatcher moves Senate Bill 1556 to be referred to the Committee on Rules. Is there any discussion regarding this second motion? Not seeing any, so ordered. All right. So that's going to take care of, let me just make sure we're dotting the I's and crossing the T's, goes to rules. All right, we now have gotten word back as to how we wanted to proceed on Senate Bill 1562. So we'll first close the work session on Senate Bill 1556, open up a work session on 1562. And before we take the motion, why don't you just give us a reminder of where we're at?
Yes, thank you, Chair Przanski. Members of the committee, this is Senate Bill 1562, which we had a hearing on the other day and was brought to us by Senator Taylor. Senate Bill 1562 adds the compression on the chest to the offense of strangulation, and it also increases the penalty for the offense of strangulation when the victim is a family or household member to a Class C felony. The introduced version of the bill specifies that those offenses would be a level 4 on the guidelines, but there is a dash 16 amendment, which specifies that all, not just DV, but all C felony level strangulations would be classified as a level 5 on the guidelines. There is a minimal revenue impact, and there is a fiscal impact, but we have received confirmation that it would be okay to send it to the floor.
Senator Thatcher.
Okay.
We'll make the motion and we'll discuss.
So, the dash 16s. I will, Mr. Chair, I'll move to adopt the dash 16 amendments dated February 14th, 2018.
All right, first thing. Senator Thatcher's moves to adopt the dash 16 amendments dated February 14th, 2018. Is there any discussion on the motion to adopt the dash 16s? Not seeing any, so ordered. And Senator Thatcher?
Okay, well. Okay, we're going to move to Mr. Chair, I'll move Senate Bill 1562 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation that it be referred to the...
No.
Never
without
mind.
Referral.
Withdraw that last clause. Right. Just move it to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right. Senator Thatcher moves Senate Bill 1562 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? I will start off that the reason we're hesitating up here, we have received a fiscal. The fiscal comes in for the current biennium about $155,000. Roll up for the next biennium is $933,000 or thereabouts. And so that caused us some pause before we were making putting this motion on the before us for consideration. But the president's office has gotten back to us and said that this the motion should be as it is, that the bill should be sent directly to the floor. So that's why we're going forward at this. I assume that if they have second thoughts, knowing that the bill will be going through the president's office on the way to the floor, that they will in fact make changes if they deem that necessary. So the motion that we do have is to pass the amended bill with the dash 16s to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on the motion. Not seeing any, so ordered. And that's on the way to the floor. Senator Taylor, I assume you'll be our lead on this.
Please.
Yes. And Senator Taylor will lead it, and I will be there for backup if necessary. Any other questions or comments? Not seeing any. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 1562. And we are now, which way do we want to go, 43 or 51? We'll start at the top. We'll go with Senate Bill 1543. And... Whitney, when you get a second, if you can kind of give us a play-by where we're heading.
Yes, thank you, Chair Prezonsky, members of the committee. This is Senate Bill 1543. This was the relating to public safety bill that we heard from last week that involved several different amendments. So I don't know if we should take them in turn, each section.
Why don't we do that?
Okay. The introduced version of the bill involves four main topics with the Batterers Intervention Program, the Sexual Assault Victims Emergency Medical Response Fund, drones, and the Psychiatric Review Board. First, Section 1 of the bill specifies membership in the Batterers Intervention Program's Advisory Committee and requires the BIP standards apply to all genders. There is a -12 amendment that pertains to this section of the bill and makes some modifications to the program requirements and the Advisory Committee members. The -12 has no revenue impact. The -12 does have an indeterminate fiscal impact. There is actually an indeterminate fiscal impact on all of the amendments because of a different section.
All right. Before we proceed, I'm going to ask the committee how you want to proceed as to the multiple amendments. We have multiple amendments, and remember, this is our bill that's an omnibus bill, so it has multiple topics that are not interrelated with each other. My proposal is that we would consider each of the amendments separately with a description from Whitney, and then we will act on that amendment, and then we'll take the next one since they are standalones. Is there any objection to proceeding on that format? All right, if not, then we'll take a motion on the -12s.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the -12 amendment dated February 7th, 2018.
All right, Senator Thatcher moves for the adoption of the -12 amendments dated February 7th, 2018 into Senate Bill 1543. Any discussion?
Just a reminder what this was. Take it one step at a time.
Yes. This deals with the Batterers Intervention Program and their standards, and so it specifies some of the people who should be on the advisory board that oversees the standards that the Batterers Intervention Program must abide by, and also has the gender, not actually gender neutral language, that those standards involve specific guidelines for heterosexual couples and same-sex couples, and when the batterer is a man versus when the batterer is a woman, that it addresses both of those. Currently, the standards define the batterer as male and the victim is always female.
Okay, so it's changing that. Good.
We're getting PC.
Yeah.
All right.
We're getting real world, Mr. Chair.
Oh, they're real world. Excuse me. I'm behind in time. I have to get on my Twitter account that I don't have. All right. any other discussion? All right. Not seeing any objection to the motion. Not seeing so ordered. The -12s are now in. Senator Thatcher.
Okay.
Oh, that would
actually right. Skip down here. All right, Mr. Chair, move to. Oh, are we going to start?
Why don't we go and take the motion?
Okay,
and we'll go
that makes sense. All right, Mr. Chair, sorry for the confusion. I move to adopt the -20 amendments dated February 12th, 2018.
All right, Senator Thatcher moves to adopt the -20 amendments dated February 12th, 2018. First, Whitney, why don't you give us an overview of what the -20s will accomplish?
Thank you, Chair Prezonsky, members of the committee. The -20 pertains to the Psychiatric Review Board. So Section 4 of the bill deals with record sharing to medical organizations to the Psychiatric Review Board. There is no amendment pertaining to Section 4. Section 5 deals with when persons have been found guilty except for insanity and are on conditional release from the state hospital or something similar, and they violate the terms of those release and need to be transported back to the state hospital or a similar facility. And the -20 amendment pertains to that section. It now specifies that a community mental health program director may order the return of these persons only when the person has absconded from conditional release. And it also requires the supervising entity that orders the return of the person to facilitate reimbursement of reasonable transportation costs of these persons to the agency employing the peace officer. It also removes the provisions in the introduced version of the bill pertaining to immunity from civil or criminal liability for peace officers taking a person into lawful custody pursuant to this section, and removes the specification that these persons may be detained so long as necessary to secure the transportation to the state hospital or other designated facility. There is no revenue impact, and it does have an indeterminate fiscal impact. As I mentioned, you'll find that all of these amendments have an indeterminate fiscal. That is because of this section, and that it was unable to be determined what impact this will have, if it may result on more people being returned to the state hospital.
All right.
Was this an agreed to amendment between, I guess, law enforcement and PSRB? The entities involved here?
Yes, thank you, Vice Chair Thatcher, members of the committee. There was some involvement from law enforcement when they listened to the hearing. I believe that was last week. They had some concerns about the impact this would have on their agencies for transportation costs, and that is why we included in the Dash 20 amendment language that the supervising authority that orders the return of the person has to work to reimburse those law enforcement agencies. My understanding from the Psychiatric Review Board is that that process is already pretty well in place, with DHS doing the reimbursements, but this, I guess, formalizes it a little more that they are actually responsible for that.
Thank you.
Yep. Any other questions? All right. We have a motion before us to adopt the Dash 20 amendments and to Senate Bill 1543. Is there any objection? Not seeing any, so ordered.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 10 amendments dated February 6th, 2018, assuming you were ready for that.
We're going for it. Senator Thatcher moves to adopt the Dash 10 amendments dated February 6th, 2018, into Senate Bill 1543. Whitney, give us an overview, please.
Yes, thank you, Chair Przanski, members of the committee. This Dash 10 amendment pertains to Section 6 of the introduced bill. Section 6 of the bill modifies the elements and exceptions to the offense of unlawful operation of an unmanned aircraft system or drone. The section is amended by the Dash 10, which specifies the causation requirement between the elements of the offense when it is elevated to a Class B felony. So currently it is elevated to a Class B felony in the introduced version when the drone actually fires a projectile or a bullet and harms a person, or if it has been modified to be like a deadly weapon and harms someone. And the Dash 10 amendment specifies that there has to be a correlation between the harm and the modification or the projectile. And the Dash 10 has no revenue impact and an indeterminate fiscal impact.
All right. We have the description discussion on the Dash 10s. Not seeing any objection to the motion that's before us to adopt the Dash 10s in the Senate Bill 1543. Not seeing, so ordered.
I'll wait for you to do this time.
Oh, no, we're ready.
All right, Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendment dated January 31st, 2018.
All right. Senator Thatcher moves for the adoption of the Dash 1 amendments dated January 31, 2018 into Senate Bill 1543. Any discussion? Or first of all, before discussion, Whitney.
Thank you, Chair Przanski, members of the committee. This is our first amendment that does not relate to anything in the introduced version of the bill. The Dash 1 amendment addresses inmate transitional funds, which was part of a statute enacted in the 2017 session. The Dash 1 amendment prohibits garnishment actions for these funds while the funds are in the custody of the Department of Corrections. If you recall from past, from the hearing, this takes some of inmates' earnings while they're in custody, I believe up to $500, putting them in a transitional fund for them to utilize for reentry. And the Dash 1 amendment specifies that while those funds are in the possession of the Department of Corrections, they cannot be garnished. And the Dash 1 has no revenue impact and an indeterminate fiscal impact.
All right, discussion on the Dash 1s. Not seeing any objection to the motion to adopt the Dash 1s into Senate Bill 1543. Not seeing any, so ordered. And Senator Thatcher.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 6 amendments dated February 2nd, 2018.
All right, Senator Thatcher moves for the adoption of the Dash 6 amendments dated February 2nd, 2018 into Senate Bill 1543. Whitney.
Thank you, Chair Brzozinski. Members of the committee, the Dash 6 amendment deals with what is known as swatting. This is when a person makes a false report to law enforcement that results in a SWAT team or something similar being deployed. And if that deployment of the SWAT team from the false report results in death or serious physical injury to another person, the Dash 6 amendment imposes a mandatory minimum sentence of 30 days in jail. There is no revenue impact, and there is an indeterminate fiscal impact.
All right, discussions on the Dash 6 amendments. Not seeing any objection to the motion to adopt the Dash 6 amendments into Senate Bill 1543. Not seeing any, so ordered. Senator Thatcher.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 4 amendments dated February 1st, 2018.
Senator Thatcher now moves for the adoption of the Dash 4 amendments dated February 1st, 2018 into Senate Bill 1543.
Thank you, Chair Brzozinski. Members of the committee, this also deals with some legislation that was passed in 2017. There was legislation enacted allowing a victim of trafficking to vacate a prostitution conviction if that prostitution conviction related to the trafficking. The Dash 4 amendment allows that same ability to vacate a prostitution conviction when it results from a municipal prostitution ordinance. There is no revenue impact and an indeterminate fiscal impact.
All right, any discussion on the Dash 15s? Fours, I'm jumping down. Yep. No discussion, any objection to the adoption of the Dash 4s in the Senate Bill 1543? Not seeing any, so ordered. And we're on to the next motion.
All right, Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 15 amendments dated February 9th, 2018.
Senator Thatcher now moves for the adoption of the Dash 15 amendments dated February 9th, 2018 into Senate Bill 1543.
Thank you, Chair Brzozinski. Members of the committee, the Dash 15 amendment makes following the recommendations resulting from a risk and needs assessment a general condition of probation following a criminal conviction. If you recall, there's a statute governing general conditions of probation and special conditions of probation. It is currently a general condition of probation to take a risk and needs assessment, but it would be something that would have to be added in through the special conditions of probation for the person to actually follow those recommendations. And so what the Dash 15 does is add in it within the general condition that you also must follow the reasonable recommendations resulting from the risk and needs assessment. There is no revenue impact, and there is an indeterminate fiscal impact.
All right, any discussion on the Dash 15s? Not seeing any objection to the adoption of the Dash 15s in the Senate Bill 1543. Not any, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, move to adopt the Dash 16 amendments dated February 9th, 2018.
Senator Thatcher moves for the adoption of the Dash 16 amendments dated February 9th, 2018. All right. This is one that we've just been working on and making sure we got, enough stuff on the record in the sense of supporting information. I'm going to ask for Jessica Menifee from the LC, from the Legislative Council, to please come forward to give us just a quick overview about the Dash 16 so we'll perfect the record. Thank you, Jessica.
Chair Brzozinski, Vice Chair Thatcher, members of the committee, Jessica Menifee, Legislative Council. I'm just here to give a little bit of background about these amendments, and I'm specifically speaking only of the new subsection 2. If you look at the actual amendments, that starts on line 19. What's going on with this statute is that this is a statute that allows certain persons convicted of felonies to apply for misdemeanor treatment. So, in effect, they are convicted of a misdemeanor instead of a felony. And there are two groups of crimes that this applies to, and there's two different times at which the person can actually apply for misdemeanor treatment. One is at the time of conviction, and one is after they've completed probation. Now, the problem that has arisen is that different counties are interpreting the latter timing differently. So at least one county has held that if the person doesn't, or if the judge doesn't reserve the right to apply for misdemeanor treatment at the time of entry of judgment, even after the person has completed probation, they are not authorized to ask for that later down the road. But I know that at least several counties in the state are saying that at any time after probation is completed, somebody can come back and ask for misdemeanor treatment, assuming that they qualify under the statute. So subsection 2 is added to clarify the timing piece. 2A is describing that at the time of conviction, anybody convicted of a Class C felony can apply for misdemeanor treatment. And then 2B is describing what types of crimes somebody can apply for misdemeanor treatment after they successfully completed probation. And I just wanted to be clear that 2A applies to any Class C felony, so that's, again, at the time of entry of judgment. And then after the person has successfully completed probation, the categories of crimes is expanded. So again, it's any C felony plus certain very limited types of B and A felonies. So this addition will clarify and apply consistency throughout the state as to when somebody can apply for misdemeanor treatment after the probation sentence has been served.
All right, so the purpose of the of this amendment is to have uniformity across the state. As we've heard from Ms. Menifee, is that we have a differences of interpretation between counties, and I feel that this is one of those situations where we, the state, need to give guidance as to what we expect and what the law is for everything to be uniformed across the state, and not one for an individual that may be in one county being treated differently if they had the same situation in a different county. Any other discussion? Senator Thatcher.
My understanding that, well, at least what I thought we were targeting originally was sort of a gap in what was passed last session under 2355, and it had to do with drug possession, as I recall, or something along that line, drug convictions of a certain level, and then lower drug convictions somehow got missed, and that's what we were going to correct. But now we are, in addition to correcting that gap, adding all C felonies, which seems okay. Clarify for
if
me.
I may. Thank you, Vice Chair Thatcher. The existing C felonies is the existing law.
Okay.
So the only additional category that's being added in is what you referenced, which is Class B felony possession of a controlled substance.
Okay.
So that's the only additional category that the Dash 16 amendment is now allowing to seek reduction to an A misdemeanor. The rest of the categories are existing law, and then the section Ms. Menifee was referencing is having that clarification
on
piece
timing.
On timing.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
And thank you
for clarification.
And setting the record. Is there any other discussion or questions regarding the motion for the adoption of the Dash 16s?
And there is, I'm sorry, Chair Przanski, members of the committee, just for the record, there is no revenue impact on the Dash 16, and there is an indeterminate fiscal impact.
All right. Any objection to the motion to adopt the Dash 16s in the Senate Bill 1543? Not seeing any, so ordered. And I believe that is going into the passage.
I think we get to pass a bill now.
Yeah, I think we do.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 1543 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right, Senator Thatcher moves for the for Senate Bill 1543 to go to the floor with the due pass recommendation as amended by the Dash 12s, the Dash 20s, the Dash 10s, the Dash 1s, the Dash 6, the Dash 4s, the Dash 15, and the Dash 16s. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. Let's see. Senator Wagner, you haven't carried a bill from this. Chair will carry this bill. Chair will carry, and Senator Thatcher, if you'd like to help, more than welcome to join in. All right, with that, we're going to go ahead and close the work session on Senate Bill 1543. We're opening up our last of our morning work sessions for Senate Bill 1551. Chana?
Chair Przanski, members of the committee, I feel like this is the easy amendment today. There's just one before you. It's the Dash 7s. This is your data breach bill. And as I said, you have the Dash 7s before you. This replaces the entire measure, so everything you need to know is contained in the Dash 7 amendment. It provides that there is no charge for security freeze, thaw, or removal of a security freeze in any circumstance. It requires notice of a breach be made within 45 days of discovery or notification of the breach, unless an existing circumstance exempts it from that, such as an ongoing police investigation. Yeah. It prohibits a person who gave notice of a breach who then offers a free credit monitoring service to condition that free service on the debit card or credit card information of the person that's getting the free service. Now, it does allow them to offer free services, or excuse me, for for paid services in certain circumstances if the offer is made separately and distinctly and conspicuously. So the consumer has plenty of notice that they are now going to be paying for a service. Let's see. It extends that prohibition to third-party contractors. So if you are a particular entity who breached and you hire somebody to provide the free credit monitoring service, they may not be offering paid services at the same time or collecting the credit card information. This particular amendment is different from prior amendments in that it returns the language on HIPAA and the Gramm-Leach-Bliley Act to current law. It updates the safeguards on data statutes to require certain existing actions be taken with reasonable regularity. It maintains many current definitions and includes a combination of data that permits access to an account as part of protected personal information. So not just your password or your account number, but some combination of data that would allow someone access to your account is now protected. Finally, it clarifies that the person with the duty to give notice of the breach is the person who owns, licensed, and had control over the data and that was subject to the breach. DOJ is here if we need any further clarifications on this amendment.
All right, so let's see. I think at this point we need to go ahead and have a motion on the dash sevens.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash 7 amendment to Senate Bill 1551. I don't know the date of those amendments.
Can we put the date on the record, please?
Sure. The date of the dash 7 amendments is February 14th, 2018.
Right. I knew it was recent.
Thank you. Senator Thatcher moves for the adoption of the dash 7 amendments into Senate Bill 1551, dated February 14th, 2018. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I would like discussion. I would like to hear what, I mean, we had a lot of hearing information on the original submitted version, and now this changes, and I'm a little off balance. I don't know what we're doing here. I feel uncomfortable just passing it. So,
Mr. Chairman, I think that there was a work group that was set up to deal with this subsequent to our hearing.
That's right? Correct.
Maybe you could tell us what happened.
So I'm going to ask for Aaron not to come forward, or
I'm
Cheryl. Lifeline, Cheryl, please.
Good morning, Chair Brzezinski, members of the committee. My name is Cheryl Heemstra. I'm the Deputy Legislative Director at the Oregon Department of Justice. Chair Brzezinski, Senator Thatcher, to kind of bring you up to speed, there was a work group after last Friday morning's hearing when the Attorney General was here. As I mentioned at the hearing, there was some confusion over a section that would have gone in a direction that neither we nor industry wanted to go. So we were, thanks to Chair Brzezinski, got everybody in the room and discussed that issue. We came up with language to make that fix, and that's the change you see in Section 2, Sub 1 on page 4 of the Dash 7 amendments. What that clarifies is if there is a breach, that all the entities that may have touched that data don't need to all give notice. So we don't want 5 notices going out on a single breach. We just need the one responsible party to give one notice out to consumers. So that was a big sticking point for industry. A few other sticking points for industry we were able to address in the Dash 7s to clarify some language on what constitutes reasonable safeguards in security. And we were reluctant, but we were willing to table some of the upgraded and newer safeguards that we wanted to see in the bill. We took some of those out with the promise to keep discussions going in the interim on updating some of those reasonable safeguards. I'm happy to get into more detail if you'd like.
All right, so let me just clarify. So the Dash 7 is actually what I would consider as a consensus compromise as to what's moving forward in this current setting. The group has agreed, as we had said, that we were knowing that we were going to continue discussions in this subject area for the interim for the preparation for 2019, and it appears that through those negotiations and discussions through the work group, some of the issues that were considered to be going forward during the current session have been now delayed, and they will be part of the ongoing work group during this interim, so we can have greater and more thorough detail discussions and analysis of those issues, as well as the potential fixes. Other questions or comments?
I guess I would question who was part of the discussion, who was part of the work group, represent not names necessarily, but representing what or who.
Chair Brzezinski, Senator Thatcher, at the table were representatives for the banks, for the debt collectors, for the retailers, and also for the tech community as well.
Okay.
Just for clarification purposes, we had two individuals on telephone conference call, and both of them alluded to sending documents into OLIS. They were referred to as red. I did a bunch of redlining or some language to that extent. Mr. Halbert and the other gentleman was Martino. Those I haven't seen on OLIS, so I'd just love to see their redlining commentary.
Chair Przanski, Senator Linthicum, those red lines were frequently sent to the local representatives of those organizations, who occasionally would share them with us, not always, and would relay further, here are particular points that we want to discuss that are of most importance to our clients, and weren't provided in whole. On for the most part, there are a few, and I believe I've shared one with you, but I can see if I can get those whole red line documents to you from those individuals.
Yeah, and then if not, I think if you could at least provide the Senator with the names of the individuals representing those organizations. Clearly, I think we all understand that when we have different interest participating in these type of work groups, they are in fact usually working with other people within their organizations, and they may not have been authorized to actually give them to us for public consumption.
And Chair Brzezinski, if I may, Senator Linthicum, I did take a look at least one version of the red lines from Mr. Halpert and incorporated some of his changes in the language.
All right. Any other questions or discussions? Senator Vance.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wasn't listening closely enough for you to, of your characterization of the negotiations. Was consensus reached, or were people angry as they stomped out of the room, or describe for us the tenor of the meeting as you that resulted in what we're looking at?
I'll let Cheryl, because we had an initial meeting, and then there was ongoing discussions individually, which I was not a participant, but I will say no one's been beating on my door with any concerns.
Chair Brzezinski, Senator Bentz, it was a congenial discussion, and I believe there might be one more remaining concern. I haven't been able to loop back. That concern came up last night, so we are happy to continue discussions if need be on the House side, but I think the clarification we have in the Dash 7s might take care of their concern. So that's the one remaining concern that I know of at this point.
And follow up. And has this, I'm not sure I know how long the Dash 7 has been available for review. Has it been, how long have the folks had to look at it?
Chair Brzezinski, Senator Bentz, I believe yesterday morning was when they came out, Janice?
Right, they came in just before noon yesterday.
Thank you. Yep.
All right, any other questions? All right, we have a motion to adopt the Dash 7s into Senate Bill 1551. Any objection to the motion? Not seeing any, so ordered. And Senator Thatcher?
Okay, we'll move this forward. Okay. Mr. Chair, I move. Okay. What bill are we on? move Senate Bill 1551 to the floor as amended with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Thatcher moves Senate Bill 1551 as amended by the Dash 7s to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Discussion.
Mr. Chair.
All right. First, Senator Bentz had his hand up first, and then Senator
then
Thatcher.
He beats me.
I defer. Go ahead.
Oh, no, that's no big deal. I just want to say that I haven't had time to absorb what the Dash 7s quite do yet, so I want to reserve my yes vote, perhaps, for later. So I will be a no at this time.
Okay. Senator Bentz.
Ditto.
Okay.
I was feeling like I would let it go with a reservation for a no.
Turn it.
Yeah,
okay.
Just turn it on.
Okay. Okay.
Same difference.
All right. So at this point, what I believe we have in the way of opposition with the reservation to vote yes once they have an opportunity to absorb the dash sevens is Senator Thatcher and Senator Bentz. Is there anyone else that's doing that? And not we. On the other hand, we have Senator Lithicum, who will be voting yes with the reservation that he may change his vote once he takes in the dash sevens. Is there anyone else who's not an aye on this motion? Not seeing anyone saying they're in opposition to it. The motion passes, and it's on its way to the floor. All right, and the chair will do 1551 as be the carrier on that. And all right, so that takes care of what we have done now. I'm just going to recap what's coming out of the committee. 1543, 1551, and 1562 are on their way to the floor. 1556 is on its way to the rules, and we are going to be in recess. We will be carrying over into our recess. I'll say that one more time, into recess today at 4 p.m., Senate Bill 1538. All right, if there's not anything else, we'll be in recess until 4.